Good morning, everyone. My name is Miss Christine. Are you ready for stories and jokes? Do you want to learn about robots with me? If you said yes, then I think you're listening to the right radio station. So let's get started. This first book is called Pete and Mo Visit Professor Swizzle's Robot by Vincent Girano. My dog Mo and I got up very early today because we are going to visit our good friend Professor Swizzle. He's been working on something special to be in today's big parade and has invited us to his laboratory to see it. After breakfast, we started off. It looked like a perfect day for the parade. No rain clouds, just the big fluffy kind. Mo doesn't care much for clouds, but I like to see how many shapes I can find in them. From the top of the hill, we could finally see Professor Swizzle's laboratory. No one's quite sure how it was built. It just seemed to be there one day. When we reached the giant doorway, I knocked as hard as I could. Boom! 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 And Mo barked a couple of times for good measure. After a few minutes, the professor's doorman, Rusty, greeted us. I said, "Hello, Rusty. Is the professor in?" As usual, he said nothing and let us in. Rusty is a robot. I think Professor Swizzle has about as many different robots as you could imagine. There are all sorts of shapes, sizes, and colors. I don't think I've seen them all, because there are just too many to count, and the professor keeps making more. "How are you doing today, Professor?" I said as we approached. "Well, hello, Pete, and hello, Mo," he said. "I'm doing just fine, but I need my hammer, and I left it over there." "Don't worry, I'll get it," I said. "Be careful not to trip on that switch," the professor warned. But it was too late. I tripped. A deep humming noise seemed to come from all around, and the once dark room became filled with many tiny lights. "Yow! Come back!" the professor exclaimed, as Mo and I were carried off in a huge robot. With a loud crash, the robot broke through the laboratory wall. "Help, Professor!" I yelled. "Bark! Bark!" cried Mo, but we kept moving farther and farther away. Down the hill and over the highway we went, crushing everything that stood in our way. Mo and I were helpless inside the giant mechanical monster. I knew that somehow we must try and stop it before it reached that defenseless city. Mo barked at me to push the levers, but they were too big for me to move. Mo would have been really upset if he could have seen the buildings getting closer and closer. The robot plunged into the city with its great, giant metal arms swinging. It smashed and crumbled building after building as it strode down Main Street. Suddenly, the great robot stopped. When Mo and I climbed out, there we saw Professor Swizzle. He had deactivated the robot and saved the day. "My, what a mess," he said. "We must fix all this in time for the parade." With that, he pressed a small button on his belt and said, "My worker robots should do nicely, I think." Soon, the sky was filled with many small robots who immediately began to work on repairing the city. While Mo and I stayed to watch them, the professor took the giant robot back to his laboratory. With amazing speed, the worker robots completed their task in time for the big parade. Crowds of people lined the street and cheered as we passed. Professor Swizzle's giant robot was a success after all. The end. This one is called The Three Little Aliens and the Big Bad Robot by Margaret McNamara and Mark Fearing. Once there was a mama alien who had three little aliens. They were called Bork, Gork, and Nicklewitz. Bork, Gork, and Nicklewitz grew up in an old-fashioned house in a snug, cozy crater on a tiny little planet. As eons passed, their house got too crowded. It's time for you to go out into the universe and find a planet of your own, their mama told them, giving each a hug. But remember, watch out for the big bad robot. It wants to chew you up. So Bork, Gork, and Nikolwitz took off. Bye, Mama, they cried. Bye, kids, she shouted back. Always stick together, she added. Then she sniffed a little bit. And call me every once in a while. The three little aliens traveled far and fast. There's a cute planet, said Bork. Too hot, said Nikolwitz. How about that one? Asked Gork. Too crowded, replied Nikolwitz. They darted around a meteor. Are we there yet? Asked Bork. Just past the next bend, a big planet, swirling with dust, loomed into view. Bork spotted a shiny space rover zipping around its mountains and plains. Awesome! She said. I'm going to live in that! But Bork had already zipped too far away to hear. Nikolwitz and Gork traveled on. Nikolwitz didn't like the look of the next planet either. Nowhere to breathe, he gasped. Picky, picky, Gork said. Then, just ahead, he spied a giant planet with huge golden rings around it. He jumped on a passing satellite and caught a ride on a ring. Whee! He squealed. This is what I call home. We can't live on a ring that goes around in circles, yelled Nikolwitz. We'll get dizzy. But Gork wasn't paying any attention. Now, Nikolwitz was all alone. He traveled deeper and deeper into space until he spotted a massive blue planet far out in the galaxy. It had 13 moons and refreshing breezes. This faraway place is where I'll build my home, he said. It will be safe from the big bad robot. Nikolwitz found everything he needed to make sturdy walls. He gathered stardust to keep his home bright and found solar panels to keep it warm. Then he grabbed a tall, shiny telescope. This'll do for a chimney, he said, though no one heard him. Rock by rock and row by row, Nikolwitz built the perfect house. When he was finished, he sat down and locked the door. His house was not very zippy or cool, but it was very safe, and there was room enough for all three little aliens. I hope they come to visit soon, said Nikolwitz. Then, one galactic dawn, there was a rumbling in the universe. Greep, boink, meep, beedily deep, dirk, eep. It was the big bad robot. Bork was so busy on her swirly red planet that she couldn't hear the robot's call. She didn't feel its giant footsteps as it leapt from star to star. And she didn't see the robot until it was right in front of her rover. Little alien, bleeped the robot. Pull over, pull over. Not by the wheels of my trusty space rover, cried Bork bravely. Then I'll crack and smack and whack your house down, meeped the robot. And just like that, the robot cracked and smacked and whacked Bork's shiny rover into 100 pieces. Greep, boink, meep, peedily deep, ork, eep, eep. As fast as the speed of sound, Bork jetted away, the robot close behind her. Just as the robot was about to eat her up, she spotted Gork's satellite house. Gork, Gork, help me, she cried. But Gork was having so much fun surfing on the rings of his giant planet that he didn't hear Bork's cries. He didn't see the robot chomping on comets and dripping open black holes. Until the big bad robot caught Gork's satellite in his huge metal claw. Little alien, it broinked, come out of hiding. Not by the orbit of this ring I'm riding, cried Gork stoutly. Then I will shatter and clatter and scatter your house down, groaned the robot. And before Gork could fly beneath the radar, That robot clattered and shattered and scattered Gork's satellite into 1,000 pieces. Creep, boink, boink, neep, beep, deep, beedily, eep, eep, eep. Gork barely escaped. Over here, called Bork, stick together. At the speed of light, Bork and Gork blasted out into space, with the big bad robot getting closer all the time. Where can we hide? Asked Gork. Let's find Nikolowitz, cried Bork. He'll know what to do. Nikolowitz had heard the robot's roar. He had seen what was going on with his brother and sister through his telescope, and he was ready. He flashed his solar panels halfway across the universe. There he is, cried Bork and Gork, and they zoomed to Nikolowitz's house as fast as a hurtling asteroid. Get inside, cried Nikolowitz. No time to waste. No sooner had Bork and Gork slammed Nikolowitz's solid space rock door than they heard the robot rumbling. Little alien, it queaked. Let me come in. Not by the slime on my chinny chin chin, cried Nikolowitz. Then I will smack and crack and whack your house down, zeeped the robot. The big bad robot bashed and crashed Nikolowitz's solid strong house, but nothing happened. Then it pounded and smashed really hard. Not a crack. Then it loaded up its triple blaster and zapped that house for good. But that house would not fall down. So the robot forced its way into the little alien's house right down the chimney. Creep-a-deep! The aliens covered their ears and waited for the robot to chomp them up. But halfway down the telescope, that robot got stuck. It strained and it struggled. It moaned and it groaned. Nikolowitz's house shook and shuddered, but did it fall down? It did not. The robot gave one more mighty cry and burst into 1,000,000 pieces. Cool, said Bork. Awesome, said Gork. Just as I planned, said Nikolowitz. There's just one thing missing, said Bork. Phone home, said Gork. So Nikolowitz did. Ma, he said, we have the coziest house in the galaxy. Won't you come over and tuck us in? And she did. The end. That was a silly book. Why don't we tell some silly jokes about robots now? What do you call a robot driving in a car? A roadbot. What do you call a robot who likes books? A readbot. What do baby robots drink from? A robottle. Why was the robot angry? Because someone kept pushing his buttons. What's a robot's favorite type of music? Heavy metal. Why did the robot go to school? Because his skills were getting rusty. What do you get when you cross a robot and a tractor? A transformer. How does a robot shave? With a laser blade. Why did the robot cross the road? Because he was programmed to. So today, why don't we figure out just what a robot is? A robot is any machine made by man that does things so we don't have to. There are some robots that build things like cars and candy bars, some that explore deep underwater, and some that even explore other planets. Why would we use robots? Well, sometimes it's cheaper and easier and faster to have a robot do things. Sometimes it's safer. Like, remember those robots that explore deep underwater? They do it because we can't. I know I can't breathe underwater. Can you? Robots also do things that are really boring. Those robots that build cars do the same thing over and over again, all day long. Can you imagine screwing in a screw after screw in the same spot all day? I'd get bored after 10 minutes, much less all day. Robots also are usually made up of different metals and plastics and ceramics. Ceramics are kind of like what your toilet's made out of. and they have three main parts. The first is the controller. That's the brain of the robot, which is run by a computer program. The next is all the mechanical parts, the motors and wheels and the robot's hands. And last, there are sensors, which tell the robot about what is around it, just like how we use our eyes to see what is in front of us so we don't, say, run into a door. All those parts work together to control how the robot works. Without the controller brain, without the mechanical motors, without the sensors, the robot would not work. So for today's activity, we're going to learn how to dance. Particularly, we're going to dance the robot. Now first, I want you to close your eyes, close them, and imagine how robots move. Do they move smoothly, or do they kind of move jerky? Do they move their arms and legs easily, or can they only move in certain ways, like left and right, but not up and down? So think about that while you dance. Try to dance like a robot would, which is not very well at all. Now I'm going to put on a song about robots. So why don't you try out your new skills and dance?
In a future time, children will work together to build a giant cyborg. Robot parade, robot parade. Wave the flags that the robots made. Robot parade, robot parade. Robots obey what the children say. There's electric cars, there's electric trains. Here comes a robot with electric brains. Robot parade, robot parade. Wave the flags that the robots made. Robot parade, robot parade. Robots obey what the children say.
Very good job. How about we dance to a couple other songs now?
Chimpanzee, I would climb a tree so gracefully. I would swing from branch to branch on a vine, eating bananas all the time. But I am not a chimpanzee, and that is really okay with me. With these arms I can swing and climb and eat bananas. If I had the nose of an elephant, I would sniff all the flowers wherever I went. I would spray water like a hose, or scoop up peanuts with my nose. But my nose is fine with me. I can smell a rose or a daisy. It sits front and center on my face. Of a little green frog, I would hop right out of the swampy bog. I would kick in the water and jump on the land, fly through the air and land on the sand. But my legs are really quite good. They get me around like they should. I can kick in the water and jump on the land, fly through the air.
eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat.
All I eat is candy, all I eat is pie.
If you just eat that, you'll be a very big guy.
But I like to eat meat, and I like to eat fish.
When you chew on your food, you go squish, squish, squish.
You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat.
Drink your milk, eat your cheese.
But don't eat too much cheese, you'll get wobbly knees.
Eat a lot of veggies and eat a lot of fruit.
Don't eat too much, you'll split your suit.
You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat.
And remember,
eat healthy and exercise. Please don't eat spiders and flies. Eat all different kinds of things. Don't fill up on chocolate ring dings. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat.
Plenty of minerals, vitamins, and fiber. Please don't chew on rubber tires. Don't eat a lot of cookies. Don't drink a lot of soda.
If you drink a lot of soda, you might explode up.
You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You are what you eat.
And that's all we have today, folks. If you want to read more about robots, why not visit your local library? They'll have all sorts of books to help you out, and some pretty cool programs just like this one, too. Anywho, this is Miss Christine signing off. I hope you'll join me next week at the same time. Bye!